All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, December 27th of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have an 8-game NHL slate. We also have an 8-game NBA slate. We had a 4-game college football slate get underway a little while ago. So good luck to all of you playing that slate. But should be a fun day of DFS here. For those of you who are new, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays, typically 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow's show will be at 1:30 p.m. Eastern to accommodate the 3-game NFL slate. And then we have our build review show going live here at 5 p.m. Eastern as well. All right, let's get SaberSim up. We had plenty of questions come in since we haven't done a show in a couple days, so took a couple days off for the holiday. So we have some catching up to do. Let's see, couple things. Now, where do we start? All right. So I'm just going to start pasting in questions, and then we'll just work through them as we go. So looks like a number of questions yesterday, day before. Okay, so I'm seeing what's happening here. Got a question from Kenson. Had one come in from support. A couple people signed up for the build review show. All good stuff. Going to be a busy day. Taking a look at everything that's coming in here, which is totally cool. All right. And we will get to all the questions before the end of the show, as usual. All right. So this one came in from Isaiah. He actually asked it just right now and earlier. So two questions in one. We'll do a little 2-for-1 to get us started. First part, how can I confirm my late swaps are going through? I think my late swaps didn't complete twice. And then another question earlier in the week said, I entered a late swap on my phone and it didn't go through, but it had went through. Had it went through, I would have won first place. Is there a reason why it didn't go through from my mobile phone? Okay, so with regards to mobile uploads, okay? So first off, go to our help docs and then check out this SaberSim tutorial section. How to enter your lineups into your contests on your phone, okay? There is a DK video, and there is a FanDuel video, okay? The biggest thing, basically ever, when uploading a CSV, it doesn't matter whether it's late swap or pre-build or whatever, right? Because the actual CSV upload part is the same. I don't know why I can't expand this. But anyways, I don't have to show it there. I could show it over here. One sec. So whenever you're uploading a CSV, right, you're always going to be on the same page. Whether or not it is pre-slate or if it's post-slate, right, at least for DraftKings, you'll be on the same page, right? So for DK, as long as you're on this DraftKings forward slash upload page, this is where you submit everything, okay? Now, for FanDuel, it's slightly different, right? On FanDuel, and let me pull this up. So when you're on FanDuel, right, there is an upcoming page where you are submitting lineups for slates that haven't started via the CSV edit button on the upcoming, or if the slate is in progress, then you are using the live option. Okay. So if the slate is in progress, you go to the live section. And then if the slate is on, there's going to be a CSV edit button right in this section. Okay. So for FanDuel, late swaps get submitted on live. For DK, pre and post slate, they get submitted in the same place. Okay. If you don't know where that URL is, the easiest thing to do is to turn on the open DFS site on download option. Okay. When you turn this on and you download a CSV, right? Like here, I'll do an example. So I got a couple million entries tonight. Pretty excited about them. Hopefully we can do something with them. Build a couple lineups. So I just want to show how having that toggle on works, because if you're on DraftKings, sometimes you can end up in the wrong place. Okay. Cause it's a little confusing uploading entries versus uploading lineups, right? Like if I'm on DK and I go to lineups and I go to upload lineups, I can upload lineups, but what it does is it just puts the lineups on your account. And it doesn't put the line. And then you need to go to edit entries. Okay. So this URL, Saverson will take you to it automatically. Okay. So let's say I'm here, you know, let's say I like my lineups. I save them. When I click download and this toggle is on, okay, I click download. It will automatically take me to that page, the right page that I need to be on in order to correctly upload the entries. Okay. So having that toggle on works for DraftKings and FanDuel. For FanDuel, it'll just take you to the upcoming page. So that's the only difference there. All right. I think that's a good one. Let's move on. What filters should we use for showdown mode? And does ROI or projection matter more for showdown? So in general, we always think ROI is better than projection. We do not think you should optimize your lineups solely based on having the highest projected lineup unless you are playing cash games, which is like a double up or a head to head. So ROI is always going to be better. ROI is taken into account. Ownership is taken into account. Upside is taken into account. Average projection as well. So there's a lot more that goes into it, which is why we think it's a better option. Now, as far as filters we recommend using for showdown, right? With showdown, you got to be aware of duplication. So there's two big ones that I would always recommend, right? A geometric mean filter, right? So in order to have a geometric mean filter, you need to have a geometric mean custom metric. So you would go to your sorting metrics, you go to add metric, and then in this window, you would create one that looks like this, my own product geo mean value, where it is calculating the geometric mean of each lineup in your pool. And then you go and you filter out lineups with a high geometric mean, because lineups with a high geometric mean are more likely to be duplicated. Okay. So ROI greater than zero, some geometric mean formula filter are the two that I would recommend for showdown. Now, to learn more about geometric mean, check out this tutorial, How Do Ownership Product and Ownership Geometric Mean Work, from our support library. I will paste it here in the chat so you guys can check it out after the show or at your convenience, okay? And I didn't do the mobile phone one, which I wanted to put in here as well. I'm going to paste the mobile phone one in the chat too. All right. Cool. Next question, how do I add filters? If I'm not running contest sims and using SaberScore, how do I eliminate bad lineups? I mean, honestly, I would reconsider, right? I would definitely be using contest sims. And if you're not using contest sims, I would be using SaberScore, right? I think projected score is probably like the third option, you know, on the list there. Maybe even lower, you know, I would probably go like ROI, SaberScore, percentiles, and then projected score, right? Like literally fourth option. So we just don't think it's a good metric because you're grading based off the average, right? Well, in DFS, we're looking for top 1% outcomes, top 0.1% outcomes. So the lineup percentiles are going to be an even better option than projected score would be. But if you're not using ROI, right? And let's say you're using Saber Score, because this is a good one to talk about. You know, with ROI, you get like a very clear measuring stick for each lineup. Like, hey, is this lineup making more money than the entry fees cost, which would be a positive ROI lineup? If no, then you want to easily avoid it, right? Well, with Saber Score, there really isn't that like marker. Like, hey, you know, lineups over 80 Saber Score are, you know, positive ROI. Like, that doesn't exist, right? So you got to be a little bit more careful. So what I recommend when people use Saber Score is if there are, you know, 500 lineups in your pool, try and stay in the top 25 to 50% of the pool, okay? Try not to go further than lineup 250. If you could stay higher than that, great, right? So it's just got to be a little bit more careful when you're not using ROI. So those are some of the things that I would be thinking about when, you know, adjusting things, min uniques, min-max exposures, etc. All right, good stuff so far. And then one other thing here on this one from Isaiah, because I asked him to post a screenshot. So if your contest sims aren't working and you go to the contest tab, if your contest has a exclamation point next to it, then that indicates that one of these four fields are empty, okay? You need these four fields to be filled out in order for your contest sim to run. So we pull in a lot of contests from the lobby. We do not pull them all in. So sometimes you're going to end up in a situation where you pull in contests that we don't have in our sim database. In that case, you are going to need to fill out this information manually. Number of entrants, pretty straightforward. Present to first is first place prize divided by prize pool. So this would be, for this contest, 1 million divided by 2.25 million. And then cash percent is the last paid position divided by the total number of entries in the contest. So I think last paid position is 184th. And the number of entries is 1,000. So 184 divided by 1,000 is 18.4. Okay. So fill out this data and it should work for you. All right. Next question. I was curious on the process regarding bulk entry. The app ran 61 lineups in the build. However, all three of the 20 maxes had the exact same lineups in them. This has happened multiple times in the past. So I need to create a different build for each one of the tournaments. Okay, so no, you do not. The biggest thing you need to change here is go into this method section and switch it from rank to unique rank. Okay, what this will do is it will make sure that all of your entries get a separate lineup, get a unique lineup, their own lineup. Okay, when you use rank fill, if you have 320 maxes, what the builder will do is it will use the top 20 lineups three times. Contest one gets lineups 1 through 20. Contest two gets lineups 1 through 20, right? It sounds like you don't want that. So if you switch this to unique rank, what the builder will do is it will give the top contest lineups 1 through 20. Second contest will get lineups 21 through 40. And then contest three will get lineups 41 through 60. Okay, so that's how rank works. Unique random will make sure that every lineup gets a unique entry, but it will not put the top 20 into the top, the second 20 into the second. It will hence randomly assign them, you know, lineup your top rank. You know, et cetera, right? So those are the differences there. But it sounds like you want to switch to one of these unique options. So that's all you need to do. All right, next question. The past few slates have been challenging with a min ROI leading to negative 84 or negative 99 on NFL Showdown, NFL 2 games, and 3 games. The only filters I use are out or doubtful players and negative min ROI. I create a second build immediately and then add ROI greater than 0 before running autofill and prize pool sorting high to low. I get a warning that not enough lineups to fill my lineups. This has happened in the past Monday and Wednesday slates. Doesn't matter what minimum filter I use to abide by DraftKings rules, I keep getting negative min ROI. Crazy thing is that after pressing save to contest, the negative numbers doesn't change and normally it gets better. I also missed out on a big win due to Sims not giving large prize pool slates several winning lineups and did win money with the lowest prize contest. Overall was negative. When doing a look back, lineups in the same slate would have given me thousands in winnings. I've done many look backs. And it seems like this is a very consistent and not sure. Okay, I lost the rest of the question. Not sure what I... Okay, I'm not sure where the rest of this question went. Maybe I didn't paste it right. But I understand the overarching question, right? So a couple things here, okay? So first off, I want to say that NFL Showdown, and if or basically this goes for all sports, okay? The less and less number of games on the slate, the higher and higher the variance of the slate goes up. That's why single game slates are the highest variance. Like when we talk about the DFS profit plan, you know, playing like 2.5 to 5% of your bankroll, you know, we've talked about playing less than that on showdowns or playing lower on the spectrum side, right? Like I'm more of like a 1 to 2%er on showdown slates, right? Because I understand the variance in those contests are so high, right? So in showdowns in two games, three games, as we get into the playoffs, you know, you need to be a little bit more careful with the amount of bankroll that you're allocating, because you can end up with these very high negative ROI days, right? So if you're, you know, picking your contest, I would always kind of lean like on the lower side of the spectrum as far as the amount of entry fees you want to have on that slate. Okay, so this is going to be more and more normal. Second thing, right, is that if you're getting a warning that there aren't enough lineups in your pool, so sometimes this can happen if you are mixing in like quintuple ups. If you're trying to run contest sims on like double ups and stuff like that, right? Where the builder is not going to create positive ROI lineups. Like there just aren't any according to the builder. So what I typically do in like those situations is, let's say I'm running like ROI greater than zero filter. If the builder tells me, you know, let's say I had like a list of contests, right? Okay. It's like, hey, the builder has positive ROI contests for all of the contests except this one. Well, then what I will do is I will uncheck this contest. I will fill all of the other contests with the filter on, and then I will only check this one contest, turn the filter off, and then just take the highest graded lineups available. Okay. So typically what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to turn off the filter when filling this one contest, and you want to fill this contest individually. Is this part, you know, I've missed out on some big wins due to best lineups going into lower dollar contest. So this is kind of a bankroll thing, right? And I think this is very normal to experience. And the reason why, right, is because, you know, and I do this all the time. You know, I talk about this, right, in like my normal play. It's like, hey, I am not maxing out, you know, the $150, the 150 max, you know, $8 entry, right? I may be putting 10 lineups, 20 lineups, 30 lineups into this contest. But, you know, I am maxing out, you know, the mini max, right? And it's like I'm putting 150 entries into this. Well, chances are I'm going to win the mini max before I'm going to win the $8. And chances are, you know, I might have more than one lineup in the mini max that can do good in the $8. And yeah, does it suck that it's in that contest? Sure, of course it does. But if you are building winning lineups, that is a good sign, right? And the more times you do that, your bankroll is going to grow, and you're going to go from entering five lineups in the big one to 10 lineups to 20 to 50 to 100, right? And if you keep doing that, your number of entries in the big contest that you want to win is going to grow over time, and it's going to become a bigger part of your overall lineup portfolio, and you're more likely to win it in the future. So like, yeah, you know, do we all want to, you know, pull the Monopoly card that says like, you know, pass go collect $200. Like, yeah, you know, of course we do. And some people do that, you know, and good for them. Right. But a lot of times, you know, you're going to have to, you know, roll the dice and go across the railroad tracks. And, you know, I can't think of any other like Monopoly, places, you know, but, you know, we got the reds, we got the oranges, we got the greens, we got the blues, you know, before we get to go. Right. So some people get to skip and, you know, good for them, but a lot of people, you know, it's kind of based on how many entries those are part of your portfolio. Now, something you can do in the meantime to help you out, right? This is something that could potentially help you out, is don't use unique rank and use rank fill. Okay. So what rank fill does is rank fill makes sure that if a lineup grades out well in more than one contest, it will allow that lineup to be used more than once. Okay. So if I had three contests here and I had a lineup and I was using unique rank, well, once the lineup goes into the top contest, it can't be used again. Okay. But if I'm using rank fill, well, hey, if it's good in the top one and good in the second, now I'm playing that lineup twice, right? So switching from unique rank to rank can be a way of doing what you're discussing, because now you're allowing a lineup to be used more than once, where it could also win the low dollar and it can win the high dollar, and you're not stopping it from going into both contests. Okay. So that's something to think about as well. All right. Next question. Hey, Andrew, hope you had a happy holiday. Question regarding player pools. I've seen Jordan, I believe in an NFL Showdown video, mentioned that sometimes our lineup pools being small is an indicator that maybe we have gone too far on making changes on our builds, and that we want our lineup pool to stay fairly sizable relative to the number of lineups we are playing in a given slate portfolio. The bigger the pool, the more likely for good lineups to be entered. I was wondering what your take is on that, like a good ratio of pool size after being filtered down to number of lineups being entered. Sometimes I start over based on my pool getting annihilated, even when making what I perceive to be very few changes, sometimes even none, and just doing the regular routine of a projected score shaver, ROI plus zero, and maybe a geo mean filter. I seem to still struggle with the NFL Showdown, which is where this happens the most, and would be interested in a review this afternoon as well. Last night, Showdown collabs. Okay, hold on. Let me, I missed the build review request earlier, so let me make a note here to catch that. Showdown Thursday Night Football. I will log this and add this to the list for today. So as far as Showdown strategy, okay, and like we can just like pull up tomorrow. Got Chargers and the Patriots. So one thing I've personally noticed in build review shows, okay, is that sometimes lineups where players have a low ceiling grade out poorly, right? I've seen this have like high negative sim ROI lineups, right? So let's just say I set something up, my projection greater than zero, just so I can ignore these guys. And, you know, I'm down here at the bottom, right? So for me personally, from what I've seen, right, I would probably get rid of at least a couple of these guys, maybe like these bottom three, like Chenault, Baker, Erickson. Chenault's like 50-50. You know, I think he's a kick returner. So like maybe he gets like, you know, a kick return touchdown or something like that. But from what I've seen, you know, when the players lack upside, the lineups grade out a little bit worse. And, you know, obviously I play like every single Showdown, so I've seen this enough times to like feel comfortable saying this. So I will shave off some of these guys. Now, where that line is a little bit subjective. You could say like, hey, I want somebody's top 1% outcome to be double digits. Okay. Then you go knock out all these other guys. I got rid of the guys under five for sure. Maybe you want somebody to at least be able to score a touchdown, right? Like, hey, Chenault, At least he gets a touchdown. These other guys at seven, at least they get like a, you know, a one catch, 6 yards and a touchdown, right? Some of these tight ends probably primarily blocking down around the goal line. We see that, right? We see guys get a single catch for a touchdown on like some, you know, special play that the team has written up. So there's a couple different ways to do that. I do like the idea of shaving this a little bit. I won't go too far in showdown to like get rid of a lot of players, especially once we get in, up into like double digit upside. So just be careful with it. I do think it's okay to curate your captain pool as well. You know, if you want to get rid of, you know, these ones have the multiplier, right? So these guys that are higher projected are having crazy huge upside, right? So I think it's okay to be a little bit more aggressive in the captain spot. You know, if you want to just go by ownership, like, hey, I'm going to get rid of guys under 1% owned. Okay, you know, I get rid of everyone below the Pats D, right? A lot of these guys, maybe they're decent flex plays, but, you know, are they going to score enough points to, you know, be worth it in the captain? Like, maybe not, probably not. So, you know, you could like take some wisdom of the crowd approach here and like get rid of all these captains. So I think that's okay as well. I do think player pool curation is a fine option in showdown. I would just do it a little bit less than like a classic slate. All right, next question. Happy holidays. I have a quick question. Is there a way to upload lineups and run a contest sim against them to see which ones have the best ROI after running the contest sim? Yes. Yes, there is. So I think I hand-built a lineup on FanDuel earlier just to demo something. So I can show how to do that. All right. So I'm on FanDuel. Go to the upcoming page. I have this one lineup, right? Okay, let's say I want to run this through the contest sim. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to I can see the lineup, right? It is this quarterback through defense section. These are their player IDs. Okay, great. So I have the lineup here. So then what I would do is I would go back to SaberSim. This is for Sunday main. FanDuel. Okay, I'm going to go back to this CSV file. What I need to do is I need to get rid of all the columns to the left of the quarterback. Okay, so it's A, B, C. We don't need those. So we're going to delete those. Okay, I'm going to save this file. I just need the position to start in column A. Once the position starts in column A, I can go into a new build with no lineups, right-click on it, use upload pool, and I can grab that file, and I can upload it to my build. Did I get the wrong file? Let's try another one. I think I got the wrong file. Upload pool. Yeah, that's not it. Okay, here it is. FanDuel. So make sure it's like, you know, the same FanDuel file. So my dates were out of order, right? That's why I was getting the error. But then now that I resorted by date, I got the FanDuel at the top, and then I was able to bring in the lineup. So here's the lineup, right? So then now I can set up my contest sim, and then I can run the contest sim, right? The other way to do it would be to, and I'll show this on the NBA because I built lineups for today already. Other way to do it would be to go into a, run any build, it doesn't matter, go into a lineup, click the pencil icon, switch out all these players for your hand-built lineup. So basically just build your hand-built lineup in SaberSim. Okay, so I'm going to come in here, you know, just going to start clicking some players. These go position by position, right? So I was in utility, it picked utility. Okay. Actually, I'll just pick all. It's fine. Let the builder figure it out. Pick a bunch of mid-range guys. Okay, boom. My lineup's built. I click save. Now, this lineup is my hand-built lineup. So when I re-contest sim it now, it's going to show me the contest sim results based on I know on regular plan, it gives a score on each slate. Example, medium, large slate, min, large slate, etc. But I don't understand how to use it in relation to contests I'm entering. How does that work? I see the videos that the team always shows examples of ROI on upgraded plan, but nothing on the regular plan for ROI/SaberScore. Okay, so a couple things here, right? First off, if you're looking for a breakdown of SaberScore, okay, in our help docs, you can go down to our support library. And then if you type in SaberScore, there is a video, what is SaberScore? Okay, I'll drop that here in the YouTube chat. So that's a good one to check out just for like some basic knowledge of SaberScore. Now, what SaberScore is doing, right, is if you go into the sorting metric and you go to any one of these, right, we're on this large slate 10 to 50K. If I click on this eye icon, it's going to show you the variables and the weights of the variables, okay? So SaberScore is made up of average projection, which is some projection. It's made up, this one, of 95th lineup percentile, which is a lineup's top 5% outcome, and then a negative weight on average adjusted ownership. So it's taxing lineups where ownership is high, it's accounting for lineup upside, and it's accounting for lineup floor, okay? Now, when you're using SaberScore, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, I recommend staying in the top 25 to 50% of your lineup. So what this would look like for me is using SaberScore, I would create an aggregate metric for average projection, okay? Average projection matters to me, all right? You should have like the min, median, max SaberScores. Those don't do a ton for me personally here. I prefer the average projection because this matters in post-contest sims, right? In contest flashback, you know, we do the build review show all the time. I've seen average projection floor matter, right? You don't need the highest projected, but you need to be within some type of range typically. And if you're below that range, then your lineups are falling off a little bit. So basically what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to balance exposure, leverage, min uniques, and average projection. And I'm trying to stay in the top X percent of my pool, right? So what it would look like is like, let's say, you know, I'm looking at this and maybe I need 20 lineups, right? I'm here, I need 20 lineups. Okay, I have my average projection aggregate metric. I'm using SaberScore, looking at my exposures. I have my leverage right next to my exposures so I can see which players I'm overweight on. Okay, great. You know, I'm going to start increasing my mini uniques. And I go from one mini unique to two. Okay, you know, I'm also seeing how far down in my pool it's taking me. Okay, two uniques to three. That takes me to line up 28. Okay, we're still pretty high here, right? Average projection was like 270. We're barely in the 269 range. Okay, now we're at 268.8. Okay, we're at lineup 38. So this is great. You know, still in top 10% of our pool if we had 500 lineups. What do my leverages look like, right? We're overweight on Wiggins. And then we have some, 10 to 20% leverages in some of these other guys. Okay, you know, this is a fine place to stop if you're okay with this, right? Or if you want to go further, like, hey, go for it. You know what I mean? But you're trying to balance all these things, right? If you're like, you know what, I'd rather be 60% Jokic when he's 26% owned. This feels a little bit better. Great, you know, stop at five. But try and balance these things out, right? So when you're on starter, mini uniques, SaberScore, average projection, exposures, leverages, how far down you're going in your pool. Those are all important things to be aware of. And just to, you know, reiterate one more time, I try and stay in the top 25 to 50% of your pool if you can, right? So that's where I want to be at. All right, let's keep going. Next question. What is the biggest difference between, or what is better, autofill or direct fill, and what is the biggest difference? So we have a really good video that breaks down the differences of the two in our support docs. If you want to check that out, go to our support library, go to SaberSim Tutorials, and then check out this autofill versus direct fill and fill methods video. Okay, I'll sum up key points here, but this one more time. In direct fill, you can see the lineups before they go into the contest, and you can see your exposures. With autofill, you don't see it until after you click save. After you click save, the exposure column populates, okay? And then you review it, and then you resave if you need to, okay? Second thing is that when you have multiple contests, direct fill is taking an average of however many contests are selected in this window. autofill is always being contest specific. It is always grading this contest by whatever is in this rank by column. It does not matter how many contests you have. So autofill is faster. Direct fill takes a little bit more time, but you get to be a little bit more in tune with what your lineups look like prior to saving. So those are the biggest differences. Check out the video for any additional points made by Jordan there, but those are the key highlights. All right. Next question from Dante. Should I be decreasing mini uniques as I late swap? Should I be maxing out mini uniques per contest, or does changing them all at the same time make a difference? Or just you change the all button. And then second question here, we'll hit that 1 second. So optimal strategy is to, I'll tell you guys what I do. I carry over my mini uniques. So like if I use mini uniques of 4 pre-slate, I will use mini uniques of 4 in late swap unless my lineups are grading out with a negative ROI. And then if my lineups are grading out with a negative ROI, maybe they're not performing that well, I will start to decrease it to get back to positive ROI, right? So I'm not going to play negative ROI lineups to preserve diversification. But if my lineups are doing good, right, maybe I'm in late swap, I have like 100% sim ROI, I will leave them in uniques, right? I might even increase it, right? So if you want to do a test, what you can do, right, is you can go into autofill, and then let's recreate an average. Or you know what? Let's run the contest sim. Got to run it. So this is effectively kind of what I'll do here, right? So, okay, run the contest sim, go set up average contest target ROI, and then I'll click save, right? Okay, hey, I saved here. I'm at 46%. Great. You know, I'm still positive. I'm imagining I'm in lead swap. Okay, well, I'm at mini uniques of 5. Or let's say I start at 1, right? Let's say I start at 1. Okay, I click save, and it's still 5 was probably like a fine number. Okay, so I'm going to go to 6, right? Okay, 6 is still a fine number. What about 7? I'm surprised these lineups are different. Try 8. What do these lineups look like? Oh, it's because I edited one lineup. Ah, it's not going to work for this. All right, let's turn this edited lineup off. And then let's clear saved. This should go back to normal without any locked lineups. So let's see. Let's try this again. Unique 1, save. Okay, cool. So ROI updated. So 60%, right, at mini unique of 1. Okay, well, then what if I go to mini unique of 4? Okay, down to 56%, right? You could effectively do this in late swap. And then depending on where your ROI is, kind of settle on a number, right? So I'll typically just like start with my pre-slate number, but you could start over every single time. You could come in here, use the gear icon to update all the contests at once. If it's on 1 and it's showing a different number, you might just have to switch it back. Or you could use this reset button here. And then, you know, I change it back to 4, change it to 5, saving, checking until you land on the number that you want. But I would basically never, I don't want to play negative ROI lineups. So if I have to use mini unique of 1 to even get close to positive, right? Like if mini unique of 1 is negative 14 and mini unique of 3 is negative 27, I'm taking the mini unique of 1 and trying to get back as much ROI as possible. All right, Dante said, best sorting method for satellites, ROI, or win rate. So basically in a satellite, you know, the percent to first is typically 100%. So all of your ROI is coming from your win rate. So ROI is a fine option. Basically the two are the same, and I would not expect it to be different. So as far as like ranking of the lineups. So just keep that in mind. But if you need to use win rate, maybe you're playing like a live final and, you know, it usually pays out like a couple extra positions, some small amount of money, then you just use win rate and be fine with it. All right. Next question from Rob. What is the impact on our lineups of building fields that are close to matching the number of entries in the contest versus using a much larger field than total entries in the contest? Okay, good question. So the first part, building a field that is close to matching the number of entries, you're basically guaranteeing that that set of lineups is used every single time you run the contest sim. When you build a bigger pool, right? Like, let's imagine you're using a 20,000 lineup pool, but your contest only has 300 people in it. What the builder does every time it runs a contest sim, it is randomly grabbing 300 lineups from the 20,000 each time it simulates it. And it's simulating it 100,000 times, right? So contest sim one, grab 300. Contest sim two, grab some other random combination of 300, right? So when you do it the first way, you're guaranteeing that like the same set of 300 lineups is used every single time. Now, if you are very sure and very convicted about like these percentages are going to be accurate, you know, these, you know, stack types, correlation, characteristics are, you know, very, very highly likely to be the ones used, then, you know, you can go your smaller field. The bigger field gives you a little bit more room for error in your assumptions, right? If you're expecting, you know, the field to play a certain amount of QB plus twos and, you know, maybe you're wrong, right? Well, when you're doing the bigger field, some of your contest sims can have more QB plus twos. Some of your contest sims can have less QB plus twos. Your ownership in the contest sim will vary, right? I mean, ownership is on a spectrum a little bit, right? You're never going to be like exactly perfect. You know, you might be projected like 25%. Hey, it might come in 30. Hey, it might come in 20, right? You're going to be like plus or minus whatever. The second option will kind of lead to that a little bit more. You get a little bit more ownership variance when you're taking these subsets of a bigger sample. So that's why like our fields are, you know, bigger, like 10,000, 20,000, even for like the higher stakes stuff. Cause we think there's some variance in there and we think it gets, you know, smoothed out over a 100K sample, but those are the biggest things to consider when deciding how big you want to build your custom field. Coin said, I personally done better using rank over unique rank. I mostly use rank, you know, I'm pretty cool with like the over, you know, lineups overlapping and I generally like it. All right. Dante said, so I'm in autofill. Should I change it per contest or make all the contests with the same min unique? So I'll tell you what I do. I basically use like a scaling method. So let's say that I'm playing 150 max, a 20 max, a 3 max, and like a single entry, right? Or not a single entry because it won't matter. Say I'm playing a 150, a 20, a 3, right? So what I'll do is I'll come in here and I'll find the min unique number I want to use on the 150, okay? Let's say that ends up being 3. All right, so then when I go to autofill, what I'll do is I'll leave the 3 for the 150, and then I'll change the 20 max to 4, and I'll change the 3 max to 5. You can actually do this, right? I've done this enough times to know that like this is an okay strategy, where, okay, you find your min unique for your 150, and then you change the contest, you go and then you do, you know, your 20 max, right? Oh, I didn't mean to do that, but then you go and you do your 20 max, and then you find the min unique number. Then you go and find the 3 max, and you find the min unique number, right? And you use a different min unique for each, you know, set of number of entries, right? You're saying you're playing 2 150s, you're playing 3 20 maxes, you're playing 5 3 maxes, right? You're using the same number for all of them. You could do that. I've done it enough times to know just dropping by one is generally a fine option, but you can be more specific if you want to be. So that's what I'll normally do. Next question, best cheap players tonight. Easiest thing to do here, right? If you're trying to get an idea of where to go on the slate, I always recommend coming into the builder. And then once you do that, coming into the value column and sorting by that, value is going to show you effectively players who you're getting the best bang for your buck for. Typically high projection, low salary, right? This is what you're looking for. So then you're going to get an idea, right? You know, Brandon Podzimski, 4K salary, 24 projection, 6.1 value. Him and Edie are like the top. see a couple Golden State guys here. You know, maybe I want to go and see what's happening with Golden State, right? So then I go, I filter for them, sort by projection, and I go and look, okay, Draymond Green, doubtful. Steph Curry, out. Oh, okay, you know, there's a lot of value on this team because they're missing two big pieces of their roster. You know, the value here makes sense. So those are the things that you want to be thinking about, or the way that I think it's good to familiarize yourself with the slate and figure out where the best value plays on the night are and kind of confirm them, you know, kind of make sure, like, does this make sense? And you know, the answer, in my opinion, here is yes. All right. One more question here from Isaiah. So how do I withdraw from mass entry? I accidentally entered a max contest and mini max on DK and wanted to remove them all at once. So the easiest thing to do is to reach out to the support for the site that you're playing on. You can literally only withdraw one entry at a time manually. And if you reach out to them, then they can do it for you in like one bulk swoop. So we have tutorials on how to do that. If you go into our support, go to withdraw. How do I withdraw my entries from DraftKings? How do I withdraw my entries from FanDuel? We show you different ways to do that. But in my experience, the easiest way is to reach out to their support and ask them, hey, I need to withdraw all my entries from this slate. And, you know, they typically take care of it pretty fast. FanDuel support, you might run into some issues there. I haven't had a great ton of luck with them. All right. Good stuff, everybody. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back in about 10-ish minutes for the Build Review Show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.